You're listening to FOJC Radio, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and teaching the doctrine of Christ to the whole world. Good morning and welcome to FOJC Radio Church. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David.
Good morning and welcome to the January 8th, 2017 edition of FOJC Radio Church. I am David Carrico, and for the next hour, we are going to be studying the Word of God. Our lesson this morning is Freemasonry and the False Communion. Freemasonry and the False Communion. And at the end of the teaching this morning, Donna is going to play a song, and we are going to pray and examine ourselves, and we are going to be taking communion together. Now, at the break, gather your grape juice or wine and unleavened bread or cracker, and we're going to celebrate together. And if you don't have that, you can do it later. And we're going to be talking about the false communion, and we're going to be talking about the true communion. We're going to be talking about how these things are establishing themselves now, and how that we need to be on the right side of this issue, how very, very important it is. And we are just so thankful to all of you that pray for us in our endeavors. A couple announcements of a couple Monday night broadcasts that we're going to be having at the end of January. On the 23rd of January, on a Monday night, 8 to 10 Central, Zen Garcia is going to be joining me, and we're going to be talking about debunking the scientific objections to the flat earth. And I did a teaching I called Falling Off the Flat Earth, where I dealt with the scriptural aspects of flat earth. And on the 23rd, Zen is going to be talking about the scientific angles, and we're going to be debunking some of those. Everyone says, well, I saw the NASA photos. Well, we're going to be talking about those NASA photos and a lot of other things. Then on the 30th, at 8 to 10 p.m. Central, we're going to be introducing a new friend to FOJC Radio, Scott Hensler. And we're going to be having a broadcast entitled Electric Armageddon, Mind Control in America. And we were talking a little bit last night with Timothy Alberino concerning the Florida shooter, how that he has made claims that he was forced to watch ISIS films by the FBI and CIA. He made that claim in Alaska before this event took place, and he's claiming that he was hearing voices. Well, we're going to have to wait and see what all shakes out on that episode, but it really is looking like this could be a mind control killer. But we're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We have so many things to pray about, and there's so many needs represented, and we are picking up our prayer life. We're taking spiritual warfare to a new level. We understand that we're coming into this time where there's going to be war. You know, this is a war. If you don't know there's a war, you're just not paying attention. And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to come before you and to bring our petitions to our great high priest and intercessor, Jesus Christ. And we pray this morning, Father, for each and every need represented. We know that there are people here under attack with the evil one. We just pray, Father, that you lift them up. And Lord Jesus, we know that there are people that are struggling financially. There are people listening that are struggling with having a place to live, struggling with shelter. And Lord, we just pray that you just move in a mighty way. And Father, for those that need a physical touch in their body, we know, Lord, that you are the healer. We believe that when you died upon the cross, that you atoned not only for our sins, but made that way that we can have healing through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So, Lord Jesus, we just pray this morning that every need represented be met. And, Lord, we just pray this morning that you help Donna to keep everything running smoothly, that you help me to bring forth your word in clarity and truth. And, Lord, just help everyone this morning to receive everything that comes forth this morning that's truly from you. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Worship the Lord for just a few moments this morning, and we're going to have our lesson this morning, Freemasonry and the False Communion. Turn in your Bibles this morning to Revelation chapter 17 and verse 9. Our lesson this morning is Freemasonry and the False Communion. The concept of the False Communion was given to Donna. She claimed she had a revelation from God where the Lord showed her that the worship of the false prophet was going to be a communion, where the wine turned into real blood, and the bread turned into real flesh, and that there were satanic miracles that accompanied this communion. Well, I sit on this for several years before, and I pondered it, and I explored the scripture, before I realized that this was a paradigm-expanding revelation that gave insight into the Word of God in so many ways, and it's extremely logical. In Revelation chapter 17 and verse 9, the scripture says, "Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." And there are those that teach that the final revelation of this beast will be Islam, and they will say that Constantinople sits upon seven hills. And there are those that teach that the nation of Israel is the beast, and they say that Jerusalem sits upon seven hills. But in Revelation 17 and 4, there's something I want to point out to you about this woman. It says, "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication." And purple and scarlet, these are the colors of the Vatican clergy. And the golden cup is precisely what the Pope has in his hand when he gives communion. And there's a cup here. There's a cup full of abominations, and there's a cup this morning that we're going to take of the real communion of the Lord Jesus. And there are two communions. There are two things happening. The bride is preparing herself. We are separating ourselves from ungodliness and idolatry, and we are bringing ourselves unto obedience to God and His law. At the same time, the whore is also taking place. The apostate church is forming, and we are seeing the American religious system aligning itself not with the true communion, but with the false. And in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 18, there's a positive ID of who this woman is. This woman is not Islam. This woman is not Israel. In Revelation 17, 18, "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." And around the year 100 AD, when the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation, there was only one city that was reigning present tense over the kings of the earth, and that was Rome. Revelation 17, 18 is a positive ID that we're talking about Rome here. It's Papa that's holding the cup in his hand. Don't be mistaken and look for this anywhere else. It's coming through Rome. And I've said for a long time that one of the popes of Rome and one of the presidents of the United States will fulfill prophetically beast number one and beast number two here in the book of Revelation. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, and let's lay a little groundwork. It's always been about eating and sacramentally, and I don't even want to use that word sacrament. Sacrament is the bad term for the thing. But it's about a communal eating and a fellowship with God. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt die." They ate of the wrong thing. They partook of the devil's communion, and they died. Now, we've got something a little better that we can do. Look at Exodus chapter 24, beginning in verse 9. "Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness." Now, where they were taken up till, and I read John Wesley's quote on this scripture in another lesson, but they were on the very top of the firmament. They started up this earthly mountain, but the Lord took them to the top of the firmament and had a little meal with them. And boy, when you understand that, oh boy. And in verse 11, it says, "And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand, and they saw God and did eat and drink." Now believe that one. You want to believe the word of God? "And they also they saw God and they ate and drank." They had a real communion with God on the top of the firmament. Now you don't get any more high and lofty for a spiritual experience than that. Now, Numbers chapter 25, there's the other side of the coin. And you see, you can commune with God, and you can partake of a true communion. And when you begin to partake of the true communion, we can have experiences with God that are absolutely phenomenal. But there is now a false communion that is even now being partaken of, where the people that partake of it, they also are having spiritual experiences. And these spiritual experiences are right out of the pit of hell. And this communion is going to escalate. We have on our website now actual pictures of this false communion, and this has taken place in the Vatican. In the Vatican, there is documented proof of the false communion miraculously taking place. Throughout the history of Catholicism, there's been a history of what they call Eucharistic miracles. And, you know, it looks like Night of the Living Dead. We've got pictures on our website where people are taking communion and blood's running down their chin. You know, and this is where we're going with this. And make no mistake about it, it's happening now, it's going to escalate, and people are going to be in the real communion or they're going to be in the false. Now, here's another example of the false communion. And you see, this is all the way back. That's what the mystery religions was about. It was about partaking of the false communion. In Numbers chapter 25, verse 1 through 3, it says, "And Israel abode in Shittim." And that was an appropriate name for the place. "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods." Now notice this, when they partook of this satanic sacrifice, they ate of it. It was a eating. It was a false communion to a pagan god with a pagan sacrifice. It says, "And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against him." Now, just exactly what they were doing in this ritual is explained point by point in a book that's published by the Masonic Publishing Company, or rather it's sold through McCoy Masonic Publishing House, and it's a book called Who Was Hiram Abiff? And Hiram Abiff in the third degree of Freemasonry is the character that every Freemason plays. In the third degree, there's when the Master Mason initiation takes place, he comes in there and they tap him on the head with a setting maul, and he falls back into a sheet. Sometimes in Europe or even in the States, they'll put him in a coffin, and then the worshipful master comes over and raises him from the dead with a strong grip of the lion's paw, and he whispers in his ear the secret word of Freemasonry, Maha Bone, which represents the lost phallus of Osiris. You know, it's the pagan mystery rites. But this is what takes place on page 132 of this book. It says here, "There was a sacramental feast, which at first consisted of the body of the slain god, probably broiled in the cauldron, to which our attention has been directed. In addition, every year at the date when the god Tammuz was slain at harvest time, the women presented cakes to Astarte made in the form of the virile member of their husbands in lieu of the member itself, which technically was Cain, but the goddess." And you see, In the legend of Hiram Abiff, and which is the legend of the Egyptian god Osiris, Osiris was slain, and his body was dismembered, and they found every part of his body. His wife tried to put his body back together in the legend of Osiris, and they found every part but one. And you know the part that they did not find. And all of this is a sexual sacramental eating under the slain god of the mysteries. And this is nothing but paganism in the rankest form. And this always has involved the eating and the drinking to the pagan god. Now, in the Scottish Rite, and what I want to do this morning is I want to give us an understanding of how Freemasonry is conditioning Freemasons to partake of this false communion, and how Freemasonry is extending this into the apostate American church, and how it's going to bring it all together in the one world religion of the false prophet. And that's quite a bit of stuff to do in 1 hour, but we're going to give it a shot. Now, there's a book called The Deadly Deception, written by Jim Shaw and Tom McKinney. And Tom McKinney is the reason why I'm involved in ministry to Freemasons. And that's a long story that I can't go into. But Colonel Tom McKinney certainly has impacted my life. But in the book, The Deadly Deception, on page 105 and following, I'm just going to read a little bit of the description of what takes place in the Scottish Rite on Maundy Thursday. I'll read. In the Scottish Rite, the Thursday before Easter, Maundy Thursday, is an important day. On this day, we always performed a special service of communion in the local Scottish Rite temple. Dressed in long black hooded robes, we marched in single file with only our faces partly showing and took our seats. And this is Jim Shaw speaking, as I had done so many times before, I said, we meet this day to commemorate the death of our most wise and perfect master, not as inspired or divine, for this is not for us to decide, but as at least the greatest of the apostles of mankind. So they deny the deity of Christ, not inspired or divine, but as the greatest of all apostles. After this, we took our places at the table shaped like a cross and sat down. The setting was dark. Our long sweeping robes were solid black, our faces nearly concealed in the hoods, and the mood was one of heavy gloom. The Christless prayers and the hymns we sang fit right in. The one word that would describe the entire event would be black. It was indeed a black communion, a strange black mass. And every Maundy Thursday, this black communion takes place in the Scottish Rite. And this is conditioning the Freemasons to sit down and partake of a communion service that is not of God. And we're going to see, as we go into the higher degrees of Freemasonry, that this black mass gets more profound, it gets more bizarre. And at the end of this Maundy Thursday celebration, they have a menorah there, and they have all of the lights there, and they blow, every Mason will get up and blow a candle out, and then finally, the one that is supervising this black mass blows the light of Jesus out. They extinguish his light without ever mentioning their name. Now, at this point, I just want to, people that say they're Christians and do this, I just want to shake them and say, what is wrong with you? It's hard for me to imagine someone with the Spirit of God within them partaking of this blasphemous rite. And indeed, I don't see how anyone with the Spirit of God in them would not get up and run out of the room before they partake in this dark blasphemy of our Lord. In Mark 8:38, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And my goodness, they blow his light out without ever mentioning his name. Will not confess him to be the divine Lord, but partake of a communion where they say we cannot say whether he was divine or not. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus had this to say about that. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And Jesus claimed to be God manifest in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And if you deny Jesus as God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the flesh. And if you deny this, you will die in your sins. And the Freemasons sit down, partake of a black communion where they say he is neither divine nor inspired. That is not for us to say, but it is for me to say this morning that Jesus was God in the flesh. If you deny that, you will die in your sins and be forever lost. And nothing could draw into focus this aspect of the two communions any better than that. But it just gets worse. And when a man is raised to the degree of Master Mason, in the Blue Lodge of Freemasonry, there are 3 degrees. The Entered Apprentice, the Fellow Craft, and the Master Mason. These 3 degrees compose what is called the Blue Lodge. Now, when a Freemason is raised to the degree of Master Mason, they read him a little thing and says, you think you know it? Well, you don't really know it. You've just begun to understand what Freemasonry is all about. And if you really want to understand it, you have to pursue through the study of the symbolism of Freemasonry what Freemasonry is all about. Now, there are 2 options in America. The 2 main options that Freemasons take for higher degrees are what is called the York Rite and the Scottish Rite. And this morning, I am going to show you a satanic false communion in both rites. And the Maundy Thursday in the Scottish Rite is just a precursor to the deeper black communions in the higher degrees of the Scottish Rite. Now, I'm going to begin with the York Rite in the Knights Templar degree in the York Rite. And this is the false communion that they partake of here in the York Rite. I'll just read a little bit of it from Richardson's Monitor of Freemasonry on page 116. This is how it's set up. It says, the relics are now uncovered, which exhibits to the candidate in the center of the triangle a black coffin supporting the Holy Bible. Yeah, let's put the Holy Bible in a black coffin. That's a good start. On which rests a human skull and crossbones. Yeah, let's get us a black coffin. Let's put a Bible and a skull and crossbones on it. And it says the skull is called Old Simon. Then it says, I now invest you with an emblem of that faith, suspends from his neck a black cross. So yeah, let's get a black coffin. Let's put the Bible, a human skull, and crossbones on it. And now we're going to put a black cross around your neck. And then it says, exhibiting a human skull, he pours the wine into it and says, to show that we here practice no imposition, I give you this pledge, drinks from the skull. He then pours more wine into the skull and presents it to the candidate, telling him that the fifth libation is called the sealed obligation. In this satanic mass, the candidate 5 times drinks wine out of a human skull. Now, is this a clue? I mean, really? You're a Christian and you're going to do this? Really? I don't think you are. And it just gets worse. And going on, this is what they do at the end of this service. It says the Freemasons face one another. And they hold hands, isn't that sweet? And they put their hands on the thigh and the chest of each other, and this is what it says. Grand Commander now explains the grip and the word of a Knight Malta. He says to candidate, Thomas, reach hither thy finger and feel the print of the nails. They join right hands and force the first finger into the center of the palm. Reach thither thy hand and thrust it into thy side. Each extends out his left hand and presses his finger into the left side of his companion, still holding on the grip. With arms thus crossed, one pronounces the word, my Lord, the other says, my God. And here they are, feeling one another, holding hands, and saying, my Lord and my God. Oh my, I mean, really? And this is what Freemasonry is all about, realizing that you are God. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 21, and what really gets me steamed is we have these apostate, cowardly prophets of Baal that will call themselves pastors of these 501c3 apostate churches, and they will not tell the truth about Freemasonry or anything else. They'll preach against the law of God. They'll say the law of God has passed away, but they will not preach against Freemasonry. And they will give the right hand of fellowship to people that partake in these satanic rites, and they have absolutely prostituted themselves. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 21, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. And I would say to you this morning, when you take a human skull, set it upon a black coffin, and drink wine out of it, and then hold one another and say, each one is God, I say this is the cup of devils. And you cannot do this and have the Spirit of God in you. And if you do have the Spirit of God in you, and you do this, the Spirit of God is going to leave. He will not honor that. This is an abomination that is over the line. This, and you know, it's so ridiculous. And this is how far gone the American church is. There are pastors of churches that partake in this. There's, oh boy, it's just absolutely over the top. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. And these churches that will not preach against Freemasonry, they will teach against the law of God that it's all passed away. And you see, you have to have the law of God passed away when you can hold hands and feel another man and say that he is God. You've got to do that, because in the law of God, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I am here to tell you this morning that that is still good, and that stands. And all of Freemasonry is about understanding that you are God. This is the purpose of Masonic initiation. I want to read from a book that is one of the top five Masonic books of all time. You've got Morals and Dogma. You've got the writings of Albert Mackey, the writings of Manly P. Hall. And right there with it is a book called The Builders by Joseph Fort Newton. And I want to read from The Builders, and this will explain to you just exactly what Freemasonry is all about. On page 284 of The Builders, here lies the great secret of Masonry, that it makes a man aware of that divinity within him. You want to know the secret of Masonry? Here it is. Here lies the great secret of Masonry, that it makes a man aware of that divinity within him, wherefrom his whole life takes its beauty and meaning, and inspires him to follow and obey it, making his existence a process of self-discovery, self-mastery, and self-spending. Self. You see, it's just like in the miniseries of Shirley MacLaine years ago, when she realized that she was God, and at the end of this miniseries, she was running up the beat saying, I am God, I am God. But I guarantee you, if Shirley gets hit by a car, she's going to die. Now, there's no difference between what Freemasonry teaches. Freemasonry teaches that the purpose of initiation and of all Masonic ritual is to let you know that you're really God, that within you is that divine spark. And through revelation, you see, the problem's not sin. The problem isn't that sin has separated you from a holy God and Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. No, the problem is you're God and you don't know it. And when you go through the rituals of Freemasonry, you'll understand that you're a God, and this will be the big motivating force in your life. Now, there's no difference between what they are teaching and what Elizabeth Clare Prophet is teaching. They have a little shooting match out by Yellowstone Park, the Church Universal and Triumphant. They're out there in their bunkers getting ready for Armageddon, and they're taking communion too. And I want to read a little bit from Mysteries of the Holy Grail by Elizabeth Clare Prophet. And she received this book from the angel, Archangel Gabriel. Isn't that nice? And what she's doing, she is channeling ascended masters. But just a little bit of this, and you'll get the understanding that what Freemasonry is doing is the same thing that other cults are doing around the world. And Freemasonry is going to bring all of this together into a one world religion. On page 282 of Mysteries of the Holy Grail, this is what Miss Clare Prophet says: becoming one with God through the Holy Christ Self is our reason for being on planet Earth. And this is from the chapter on Mysteries of Your Divine Self. Same thing that Joseph Fort Newton is teaching. She goes on to say, the term Son of Man indicates that the potential exists for divine sonship through the path of personal Christhood, putting on day by day the garment of one's Lord, eating his flesh and drinking his blood. You see, the revelation that you're God comes through a false communion service. She goes on to say, Jesus was the Son of Man, but everyone who retains the divine spark, the threefold flame, is the Son of Man. Last night with Timothy Alberino, we were talking about the Book of Enoch and the Son of Man passages, and how that the title Son of Man that Jesus chose for himself comes from the Book of Enoch. Well, Elizabeth Clare Prophet said you can all be a Son of Man because you've all got the divine spark. And when you get the revelation of your divine self, you'll know you're God too. And we don't want to miss how this comes about. This comes about, according to her, on page 161 and 162, we just read, it comes through eating the flesh and drinking the blood. And this is what she says, and this is what this devil says that she's channeling. It says, I am Gabriel. I announce to you the all-transmuting light of his body and blood as the solution and the dissolution of world good and evil. You want to know how to solve the problems of the world? Well, this devil that says he is Gabriel says it's through partaking of this communion where everybody realizes that they are God. Well, the lines are being drawn, and people are either going to be on the right side of this, or they are going to be on the wrong side of it. And for anyone out there that thinks they're God this morning, you know, there is a God, and it's not you. You are not God. And this deception that man can become of God, this is one that the devil has been putting out for a long, long time. And in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, you can take this to the bank. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, we're going to take our break this morning. And as I say, after the second teaching session, we are going to have a time of examination. We're going to be taking the true communion. And if you have juice and cracker or wine and unleavened bread, get it ready. Now at the break, And after the second session is done, we're going to have a song of examination and prayer, and then we're going to take the communion together, the true one. And as I say, if you do not have that ready now, you can do it later. And I was impressed with the broadcast we did with Julia Thompson, and something she said really stood out to me, that when she would take communion, that the powers of hell coming against her would have to stand down. And we're going to understand this concept of just how important this is. So we're going to take our break, and we're going to be right back on FOJC Radio Church.
Make sure to subscribe to FOJC Radio on YouTube. There's a lot of imitations, but only one is the real thing. Thank you, and be blessed.
Look for the open door for FOJC Radio on YouTube. You're listening to FOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found.
Of the guard, whip him, beat him, anything to appease this angry mob. They took him to the common court. Brutally he was flogged till beyond all recognition there lay the Son of God. The magnitude of what they'd done, they could not understand. They were just the instrument, and His blood was on our hands. We are the creators of the stars. What tore His flesh and drew His blood was the sin within our hearts. Surely we are innocent, some of us might say. We did not cry out for His death, none of us betrayed. Well, how about those Romans and the Jews? Why, we all know it was them. None of us stands blameless of what happened on that day. Without His blood, there could not be remission of our sin. And though we did not swing the whip, we're guilty just like them. We are the the stars. The Christ cried out His blood on us. Today our Christ the same. For the precious blood of Jesus to wash our sins away. We are the creators of the stars. What tore His flesh and drew His blood. Yeah.
Welcome back this morning to FOJC Radio Church, and I just want to do as I always do and thank you all so much for listening and studying with us. Thank you so much for supporting us with your prayers and your kindness, and we just appreciate it so very much. We really do. And this morning we are talking about a very heavy topic, but a very needful one. We're talking about Freemasonry and the False Communion, and how Freemasonry is preparing the way to unite all religions in the final worship of the false prophet. And there are a lot of people that believe in a Catholic conspiracy theory. They believe that the Catholics control and run everything. And I talk quite a bit about Catholicism and the role it plays. I'm doing that this morning. But it is not an all-Catholic conspiracy. There are people also that talk about a Jewish conspiracy. They believe it's the Jews running and controlling everything. Well, the Jews are certainly playing a part. Apostate Jews are. And we're going to be talking next Saturday night with Gary Wayne on the Midnight Ride on Now You See TV about the Illuminati families and their secret societies. And we're going to be talking about the Rothschilds. So certainly there's that element. But until we understand that Freemasonry is coordinating all of this, you see, whether you're a Catholic or whether you're a Jew or whether you're a member of the Universal Church Triumphant with Elizabeth Clare Prophet, all of these people meet together at the Masonic altar, and it's Freemasonry that coordinates all of these things. And until we understand the conspiracy in that light, we're not going to understand it correctly. Now, I want to read from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It's the precious blood of the Lamb that washes away our sins. Nothing else will do it but the blood of Jesus. I want to read a little bit to you this morning about what takes place in the 17th degree of the Scottish Rite. We talked earlier about the false communion that takes place on Maundy Thursday in Scottish Rite temples. Well, in the 17th degree of the Knights of the East and the West, it just gets worse. And I want to read a little bit to you this morning from a book called Scottish Rite Masonry Illustrated, The Complete Ritual of the Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite, Volume 1, by John Blanchard. And this is what takes place in the 17th degree of the Scottish Rite, the Knights of the East and West. And on page 450 of this book, here's a little bit of the ritual. The senior warden says, They are those which came here after passing through great tribulation and having washed their robes in their own blood. Having washed their robes in their own blood. The senior warden says, Will you purchase such robes at a great price? And the candidate has to agree that yes, they want to wash their robes in their own blood. The candidate then says, Yes, I am willing. Warden then conducts him to the basin, bares his arms, tie a string or bandage around each arm, when each with a lancet makes a trifling incision so as barely to draw blood, which is wiped on a napkin and exhibited. And they actually draw their blood, wipe it on a napkin, and hold it up, and they proclaim that this man is washed from his sins in his own blood. On page 453, it says, This is supposed to represent the end of the world when all good Masons receive their reward by being conducted to a throne at the right hand of the All-Pursuant, having been purified by washing their robes in their own blood. They also took an oath to spend the last drop of their blood to establish the true religion of the Most High. Can you imagine the devilish anointing that rests upon men that partake of this? Can you imagine the curse that rests upon men when they take oaths to wash themselves in their own blood? In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed." And I say with the Apostle Paul this morning, let them be accursed. Let that curse rest upon them that say they can wash themselves from their sins in their own blood. And truly that curse rests upon them. And I say this morning to Freemasons that there is forgiveness, there is redemption in the true blood of the Lamb. You need to repent. You need to repent big time. You need to hit your knees and pray that the God of heaven forgive you of your satanic blasphemy, because what you are doing will damn your soul to a devil's hell. There is no redemption except by the blood of the Lamb. And you apostate prophets of Baal that will not stand in the pulpits and tell your people the truth, that curse rests upon you. And each and every person that is supporting a church that is allowing Freemasons to do their devilish deeds, that curse rests upon you too. If you are in a church where Freemasons are given the right hand of fellowship, you better get out of it, or the judgment of God is going to fall on you just like it's going to fall on them. This is nothing to play with. There are curses that rest upon this that are so powerful that it's going to take people to a devil's hell while they actually believe that they're right with God. But it gets worse. You think that's bad? It gets worse. It gets even worse. And on page 452, I want to tell you the secret word of the 17th degree of the Scottish Rite, the Knights of the East and West. And what they do, they give the sign, and then it says, "Look at your right shoulder and say, Abaddon." Abaddon. The secret word, after they do this false communion and say that they're washed from their sins in their own blood, they say, Abaddon. Now, where have we heard that word before? Well, in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 11, that's where we've heard that word before. In Revelation chapter 9 and verse 11, it says, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon." So yeah, we're going to shed our own blood. We're going to say we're washed from our sins in our own blood. And then we're going to give the password Abaddon. And then we're going to say this is the true religion. You see, there are very clear lines being drawn. There is the people of God that are going to separate themselves under the true communion, and there is the apostate church that are going to gather together, and they are going to serve communion to those that are partaking in a black mass. Now, Charles Finney is a man that I admire, and Charles Finney would not serve communion to two groups of people. He said he would not serve communion to a Freemason, and he would not serve communion to a slave owner. Charles Finney said, "If you think you can own another human being, I won't serve communion to you." And people actually tried to kill him over both issues. But let's go back to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 23, and let's go back to the Passover, and let's look just exactly what took place. And I want us to think just exactly how this applies to us spiritually this morning. But in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 23, It says, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you." Now, I am going to identify who this is. And the destroyer here is Abaddon. He is the same one that is spoken of in Revelation 9:11. He is the same one that in the 17th degree of the Scottish Rite, they give this name Abaddon as the password. Now in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." When the destroyer went through, there was one way you could be safe. If he saw the blood, he would pass over, and the destroyer could not touch you if you had the blood applied. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, there's something that we want to understand. And I don't want anyone to mistake the fact that I believe in actually observing the Passover. And Now You See TV is planning to have a Passover service that's going to be fantastic. And any of you that are physically capable of being there, we hope that you join in this Passover celebration, and we're expecting 500 to 1,000 people to gather together for this, and John will be making that announcement. But I'm all about that. I'm all about observing God's real times, but we don't want to miss this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." When Jesus died upon the cross, he was the Passover lamb that fulfilled the feast of the Passover. And we need to understand that when we partake of communion, that the same blood that protected the Israelites in a symbol, when they put it over the doorpost, that the blood of Jesus is protecting us from the destroyer. And we need to have this understanding. There is a protection in partaking of the Lord's Supper with a proper and a right understanding. There's a true communion and there's a false communion. And we're going to take communion this morning with the understanding that in so doing, we are putting the blood over our doorpost, of our life, over our homes, that we are protecting ourselves from this destroyer by the blood of the Lamb. In Luke chapter 22, in verses 15 through 20, the scripture says this, "And he said unto them," Jesus speaking, "with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." Now, I want to very quickly identify who this destroyer is. And I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 31 and verse 3. And this destroyer, Abaddon, Apollyon of Revelation 9:11, he is an ancient fallen seraphim. The seraphim is the highest order of celestial beings. In Numbers 21 and 9, I could establish that Satan is a seraphim. He is not Lucifer. He is not a fallen angel. He is a seraphim, the highest order of fallen celestial beings. And there are good seraphim that have not fallen. But in Ezekiel chapter 31 and verse 3, and this is another paradigm buster, in Ezekiel 31:3, "Behold, the Assyrian, was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches and with a shadowing shroud and of an high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs." Down in verse 6 through 9, All the fowls of heaven made their nest in his boughs, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadow dwelt all great nations. There were nations on the earth at the time the Garden of Eden existed. In verse 7, thus was he fair in his greatness, in the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in beauty. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. The word of God says the Assyrian was in the garden of Eden, and it says that when the Assyrian was in the garden of Eden, that there were nations upon the earth. In verse 16 of Ezekiel 31, I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall. And once again, these nations are mentioned. They're also mentioned in the 14th chapter of Isaiah in reference to the rebellion of Lucifer, which took place at the same time. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall when I cast him down to hell with them that descend into the pit, and all the trees of Eden, the choicest and best of Lebanon, all that drink water shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. They also went down into hell with him, unto them that be slain with the sword, and they that were his arm that dwelt under the shadow in the midst of the heathen. So scripture teaches the Assyrian was in the Garden of Eden. God cast him out into the pit of hell. And when this took place, there were nations on the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but they didn't tell me that in Sunday school. Now, in Isaiah chapter 10, let's get a positive ID on who this Assyrian is. And this passage and many others we can read connect this ancient fallen seraphim with Abaddon, Apollyon, the destroyer. In Isaiah chapter 10, beginning in verse 5, O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, the staff in their hand is mine indignation. And this is O Assyrian. It's not the Assyrians. A fallen power is being dressed. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit he meaneth not so, neither does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. He is the destroyer. The Assyrian is the destroyer. And I'm going to stop at this point. And there are so many more scriptures we could read, but I think the point has been made that in the Scottish Rite, they are actually worshiping this fallen seraphim that's going to come back in the last days and be released out of the pit. And I believe that the Assyrian will be in the false prophet, and I believe Satan himself will inhabit the first beast of Revelation 13. So you see here that Freemasonry is very, very explicitly establishing and coordinating the false communion that's going to be the worship of the false prophet. It's not maybe they are, they absolutely are. And at this point, I want us to stop and examine our hearts. And when I come back, I'm going to read a couple scriptures, and then we're going to take the true communion together. And when we do take the true communion together, we're going to do it with the understanding that just like the Passover in Exodus 12, when they slain the lamb and they put the blood on the doorpost, that the destroyer had to pass over. And this destroyer, the Assyrian, is coming back. And this morning, when we partake of the wine that represents the true blood of the Lamb, not washing our sins with our own blood, but with the blood of the Lamb, we're going to understand that we are putting the blood over the doorpost of our bodies, over our families, over our houses, that that destroyer will not come in unto us. And this is something that we need to do, and we need to do it a lot, and we need to do it with understanding. Now, Donna is going to play a song of examination, and while this song plays, if you have aught in your heart against anyone, ask for forgiveness. And all of us, you know, and a lot of people say, well, I'm not worthy to take communion. Well, none of us are. But when we repent of our sins, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this morning, ask the Lord to forgive you of all your sins. If you have any unconfessed sin, confess it unto the Lord. If you have aught in your heart against any of your brothers or sisters, confess this now and repent of it. Be washed in the true blood of the Lamb. And then we're going to come back and we're going to celebrate and take the true communion. Examine your hearts before the Lord. Then we're going to celebrate. We'll be back in just a moment.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For God is the kingdom and the power and the glory.
This morning, I don't want you to just listen to this teaching, but I want you to participate. Don't just say, wow, I think this is true, but I want you to actually do it. And if you do not have your elements to partake of communion this morning, do it later. Make this a part of your regular devotions with the Lord, to do this often with understanding. And the idea that we have to be in a church with some licensed minister to give us communion, that's a lie. You can take communion by yourself. Do it regularly and do it with understanding, because, and it's not the ritualistic participation in it that will give you value, but when we do this and we do it with understanding, we're putting the blood of the doorpost over our life to protect ourselves from this destroyer that's coming back. I want to read just a couple passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 18. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? And in the Levitical priesthood, there were certain parts of the sacrifices that it was right and proper for them to eat. Here again, we have this eating of the true sacrifice. Verse 19, what say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the thing which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. You see, there's no way that you can partake of the evil rituals that we've spoken of this morning in Freemasonry without having fellowship with devils. In verse 21, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the tables of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? And truly, people are provoking the God of heaven when they partake in the table of devils. There's a true communion. There's a false communion. This is something that you do not want to play fast and loose with. This is a most holy thing that we are doing this morning. And you can see right in the context of the Apostle Paul's teaching on this, there's the strict warning that there's other things out there. You know, there's what we're doing this morning, then there's other things out there. Now, that's the table of devils. You better not be partaking in that. In 1 Corinthians 11, let's read beginning in verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And this morning, in these terrible rituals that the Freemasons partake in, they have made themselves guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. A most serious thing. In verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And this morning, we have played the song and given time for each and every one of us to cleanse ourselves in the true blood of the Lamb, to prepare ourselves for this most holy partaking. In verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And truly, these terrible rituals we've read this morning, they're eating and drinking damnation to themselves, not discerning what they're doing. It says such a frightening thing. In verse 30, for this cause many of you are weak and sick. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You can cure yourself taking that false communion. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Well, this morning, I want us to take our bread, and I want us to take it with the understanding that by so doing, This bread represents the body of Jesus Christ that died on the cross for us. Let us take her bread together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for that body, that real body that suffered and died on the cross for our sins, that washes us from her blood. Lord, we thank you that you suffered and died for us to purchase our salvation. And let us now take the blood. Let us drink of the juice that represents the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross. Let's partake together. And Lord Jesus, we do praise you this morning for your blood that was shed. Only the holy blood of the Lamb of God can wash away our sins. Only the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that when you see this blood, that the destroyer must pass over. And like the Israelites of old, Lord, we are partaking of Christ our Passover, and we are putting that blood upon our doorpost this morning. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the mighty work of salvation that you wrought for us when your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for us. We thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And I just want to thank each and every one of you this morning that shared in this time. We love you all very much, and we just pray the Lord's richest blessings and protection upon you all. And we will see you next week on FOJC Radio Church. God bless you all.
Thank you for being a part of FOJC Radio Church. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana, 47724-4174. Or you can call us at area code 812-473-3735. Or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com. Check out our website at www.fojcradio.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Central Time. Thank you and God bless.